a little bit more of my wanderings through Philippians, and to set the background, this is a meditation I was doing for myself, and I feel also to share, and the thought was, be anxious for nothing. That's not my nature. My nature is, if there's something going to happen, and I'm sure many of you like this, you figure it out, and then you have a plan, and then you have a backup plan. And if you're not quite sure whether those are good plans, you have a third one to back this two up that you've got. I come to look at this little passage, and it came, the whole thought is, it was like, okay, be anxious for nothing. Well, that's a nice, very dry, very hard kernel of corn. Super dry, you know, what do you do with that? And so I began, and you know, part of one of my approaches is, okay, Sunday morning, somebody has to be prepared to speak. So I like to spend some time in the week and be prepared. Well, that didn't work out so well this week. Though I did spend time, it was erratic. And so Friday night, I think, well, I've got to get up in the morning, you know, and spend some time, which is pretty much my usual practice. Saturday morning, I got up pretty much wasted. And so I'm thinking, well, be anxious for nothing. So Judy and I were there, so I sat in my chair and put my feet up on the bed, you know, and I looked out the window, and it was early in the morning. And living where we are, there's a lot of wildlife. We had these little rabbits. Well, they were good-sized rabbits running around eating the grass, you know, and there were two or three of them, and they were playing, and it was very pleasant. We watched. I've got a little nest of swallows up just on the eave where I can look out the window and see these little mouths coming up to be fed. So it was relaxing, you know. And then in a little while, it was very nice. We got up, and Judy went downstairs and let the dogs out. The next thing I see is the last rabbit making a dash for its life into the wheat because she's chased him away. So I thought, well, that's that. So I walk around to the kitchen, and there she is in the back of the yard, and we had some deer in the field behind us, and she was busy getting rid of all those as well. So our tranquil world had gone to be totally supervised. You know, it's kind of a bit like life, though, isn't it? That can happen very easily to us. And so I want to explore a little bit the being anxious for nothing. Heavenly Father, we just commit this time to you that your truth might be expressed. We thank you. We ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit and your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. And so now I want to slightly change of gear here. So, and I'm not particularly thinking of us here. But suppose if you have a gathering of believers, and as sometimes happens, you know, I'll pick on the ladies here. You have a couple of women, and they're not particularly getting on very well. And you know, I want to describe these two. You know, they have it. here they are, it's the church work, you know, and basically they're having it out. And now one of them, I described this way, a very, very competent sort of person, a good administrator, good manager, you know, likes to help people. And pretty successful at being able to reach out, and the other one, basically, we would describe as an accident waiting to happen. If you had to deal with the situation, what would you do? You know, there's, you know, contentions, aren't there? They're striving. Things are not happy. Now, of course, the one that's the mess, you know, what do you do? Here's this person, you know, they kind of have the Holy Spirit, but they are so full of so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And the other one is very, very practical, finds it insufferable, you know. Well, I'm describing here a situation. We're not without help in this. I implore Eudia and Syncretes to be of the same mind. If you go back and look at those names in the Greek, Eudius is to help on the road, succeeding in reaching, to be successful in business affairs, according to Strong's. And Syncrety is an accident. Isn't that interesting? So we have this little church in Philippians in chapter 4. And where Paul is addressing a situation. Now, a person is given the job here. It says, I urge you also, true companion, help these women. Now, true companion, it doesn't actually tell us who this is. I think it's probably Epaphrodites, who is given the job. He wrote the book, but he was very heavily involved in the Philippian church. And what can we say about Epaphrodites? You know, this is obviously Paul writing, and they have a problem. And Paul, with no more ado, they don't go into a discussion here of other than the names, the nature of the problem. But he says to Epaphrodites, you know, I'll take the license to use him because it probably... You need to do something. I don't know whether you've ever gone into a meeting and there's been a problem and you go for help and you explain the problem and the person on the other end says, yes, that's a problem. I'm glad I'm not you. It almost is like that here. You know, here is there. So we have these two people. And there obviously is disruption amongst the believers. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Help these women who labored with me in the gospel. So there, it is the Lord's work. And the thing here is, I want to divide something here. There is a being of oneness in spirit, isn't there? And there's being of one mind. And it is often, I think we can be of one spirit, but we struggle, not necessarily, I'm not thinking of anything, but it's, to be of one mind with somebody is different, isn't that, than being of one spirit. And the word mind can be soul, it can be translated the wind, the same as the spirit. So there's very close relationship here, but there is a distinction of being of one mind. And so, the question here, how do you obtain peace amongst believers? What is the in the greatest form, not talking about this particular, but how is how do we come to a oneness of mind? There's a peace that is here. And of course, contradistinct to being anxious, there's a peace, isn't there? Be anxious for nothing, being of the same mind. And so I want to spend a few minutes just thinking about the mind here. And there's a number of things here. The thing that so often can bring death. In Romans 8 and verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. And of course, we all have the propensity to the carnal mind. And if you want peace to disappear, live there for a while. Because there, I don't know about you, but you can think of, you know, there's a disquieting that comes in the world. The carnal mind doesn't make any sort of grade on the scale of faith, does it? It's the flesh. It's what we see and what we recognize. And as in our two ladies here who are having a dispute. You know, Paul makes no comment on how to sort it. You know, looking at now from the worldly mind, you would say, well, you know, I think Syncrete, she needs to step back from the plate and sit down and shut up for a while and listen, she might be able to learn. But having said that, would we actually be able to escape the carnal mind? No. So, as we look at this, the carnal mind is death. And so I think of the prophet, where the prophets went out and they went and collected herbs or whatever and threw it in the pot, and they tasted and there was death in the pot. That's kind of like the carnal mind, isn't it? You can have the pot, but there's death in that. But the spiritual mind is life and peace. In Romans 12, it says, and be not conformed to this world. The carnal mind conforms to this world, doesn't it? What is the carnal mind? It is ours by nature. We all have one. You know, it's the jack in the box, isn't it? You squeeze down the lid and you hope. The carnal is death. You know, it can come out so easily, can't it? The carnal mind is death. And as I think of it as well, it can be, you know, and certainly for this later, it's all about self, isn't it? For this generation coming up now, whether it's just that I'm older or it was hidden when I was younger or you just see it more, but it's the selfie generation, isn't it? In the world, it's just amazing to look at, consumed with the self. But there's something else I want to bring out about the carnal mind, you know? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when I think, you know, often I wonder when we come to thinking, Judy and I, thinking needs boundaries. And we have a little saying is we just don't go there. Are there areas in your thought life where you have known to put a filter and just not go? Just don't go there. And put this way, of course, the carnal mind is our own. The enemy has pretty free rein over the carnal mind, doesn't he? Influence, yeah. He's free to throw a seed in there and see whether it grows. It's our choice whether it grows or not. We can accept things and we can reject things, can't we? The carnal mind is death, you know, and so we can open doors or we can close doors. If I was to say, okay, so we've got this mind and you know, we do have a level of responsibility. And I think in terms of the mind, we have the ability to choose what we entertain and what we don't entertain, don't we? And certainly, and as far as the enemy, if he can get you thinking it and believing it, he wins the day and the carnal mind plows on. How then do we deal with the carnal mind? In Ephesians, it tells us in 4 and 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul here in 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and in holiness. There we go. We've got it's like, as I think of this, if you've got, as we have talked earlier, we have the Spirit of the Lord living in us, don't we? He's a new nature. Yet we have this old nature that we have to put off, don't we? You know, I think of it like a bit like a balloon. If you put a lot of hot air in it, it swells up and causes problems, you know, and maybe in our Christian life, this life has to wither away, doesn't it? That the life of Christ might be preeminent. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it is the work of the Lord to renew the mind, but we don't have to be fighting against that, do we? And here we have these two sisters in this church, and they're at one another. The carnal mind. And so laying aside of the carnal mind is important. Verse 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. This proving, it's approving. There again, there's our the verification, isn't it? That we might prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, knowing the will of God. You can't do that with the carnal mind. That has to be done with the mind of Christ in us. Is that not true? And again, in Romans 8, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And now the little piece in here, let me go back to Philippians. Standing fast in the Lord. What is it to stand fast in the Lord? It's kind of important, isn't it? The secret, I think, of standing fast in the Lord is to lay aside that carnal mind. Back to our problem here. Be of the same mind. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind one towards another. The scripture tells us to be of the same mind. Now this is what the Lord desires, doesn't he? Be of one spirit and be of one mind in him. But to do that, we can't route that out of ourselves, can we? That has to be the Lord speaking to us, that we can recognize his mind. We might use the term the testimony of Jesus. Does the testimony of Jesus in me say anything different than the testimony of Jesus in you? If it does, it might not be the testimony of Jesus, because the Lord is one Lord. The flesh and the spirit, isn't it? Be of one mind. That spiritual mind. Unity in the spirit. And then rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Here we go. Be anxious for nothing. Don't fret. I'm speaking to me, not you. You know, don't fret. That's kind of easily said, but not easily done, isn't it? Be anxious for nothing. The problem isn't the situation. The problem is how we're thinking about it. Who we have faith in. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, there are times that we meet things which are bigger than us in this life, and we're not supposed to worry about it. Okay, that's easy. Yeah. If we're standing in the right place, in everything by prayer and supplication, tell the Lord about it. Ask the Lord about it. Let your requests be known to him. Paraphrased, be grateful for it and ask. It's simple, but it's dynamically divine. And finally, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That's 4:19. What a tremendous way to overcome. Be anxious for nothing, by prayer and supplication, and just the foundation, trust the Lord. Amen. It's simple. Trust the Lord and ask him, and he will supply all of our needs. And it kind of lifts you, or it does me, it lifts me above looking around and thinking, well, this is probably going to go wrong. This is probably going to be wrong, and probably it's going to be my problem. Well, it's not. Because my Heavenly Father knows, and he has the ability to take care of all these things. Trust in the Lord is a foundation. It's a way. It's a way of life, isn't it? In our lives, are we looking moment by moment, trusting the Lord? Or are we spending time trusting ourselves 50% and trusting him the rest? You know, he doesn't share very well. And there's a good reason for that. Why would he want to? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. It's about him, isn't it? Self-reliance against relying on him. So maybe the problem in the Philippians with these two women, it was their own strength, wasn't it? And they had plenty of it. And they probably had a measure of the Spirit as well. But the Spirit and the flesh don't mix. Walk according to the Spirit. You will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for just the very simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we thank you as we look at this. That, Lord, you do not make mistakes when you use people's names in Scripture. Lord, there is no possibility of you missing anything. And Lord, we thank you for your guidance for us and for your trust, for the confidence we might have as we trust in you. And Lord, we ask that you will quicken us to those thoughts that are from you and to those sort of thoughts that originate in the flesh. And we pray you will cleanse us from living in our own strength, that we might lean wholly upon you, and that we might be yoked with each other and with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.